1 John chapter 2. If you have noticed as you study your Bible, as you get back into the epistles of James and Peter and John and even Jude, that the word gets tighter and tighter and tighter. Has anybody noticed that? And it's because these men, as you move back into the New Testament, they have lived for God longer and longer. As a matter of fact, when John wrote his first epistle, he's given us the benefit of 60 years of walking with Jesus, 60 years of sanctification. And so what he says with that type of experience, just in passing to you and I, sometimes it can seem like it's crushing. But this is where the Lord is taking all of us to this level of sanctification. 1 John chapter 2, we'll just read it, and then I'll go back and try to open it up, beginning with verse 15. The apostle writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world." Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning thanking you for the engrafted word that's able to save the soul. We'd ask you today, Lord, that you would first give me the mind, Lord, to speak clearly before your people, to make these concepts very understandable, and that you would anoint the ears of your people that they might not only receive but embrace that you've inspired to be written by the apostles so long ago. And Father, we also come to you and we thank you for the offering that we'll be receiving today. We thank you here in the worship room across the online experience for those individuals, those families that lift up our hands so that we continue to proclaim the gospel around the world. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, if you just read this in passing, sometimes it seems like it's not quite as tight. And when I say tight, I mean as disciplined as it really is. And so I want to not just do a superficial read this morning, but I want to look at what really the apostle is saying. Now, of course, they had a different society in those days, but overall, human society really doesn't change, and the human condition doesn't change. He brings up three weaknesses of the human condition in this passage that we just read. And those conditions have not changed. There's still a weakness for every human being, saved or unsaved, doesn't matter. It's still something that you and I have to contend with. And if we don't, we succumb to them, sometimes not realizing how much we have succumbed to them. He begins by saying, "Love not the world." Now, we read that and we think, well, yeah, I don't love the world. I don't go to bars. I don't go to, those kind of places. But that's not at all what the world means. The world means any part of human society that is set apart from God. If Jesus is not mentioned there, if Jesus is not worshiped there, it is of the world. Anything that's not of the Father is of the world. And so most of human society, then, it can be declared to be of the world simply because there's no recognition of God or his son, Jesus Christ. Now, the problem is that you and I are so embedded within the world. Sometimes we've accepted things in our lives that is of the world, and we're so used to being embedded with it that we don't even realize that's the world. I'll give you an example. Your television set is of the world. All three of them. We have them in every bedroom of our house. And some of us are actually pseudo-addicted to them. Well, that's of the world. There is no presentation, for the most part, of Jesus Christ on there. There's no recognition of God, but yet we're so used to doing it, we go on and on in that mode, not realizing. But John points it out. He says, don't love the world. And he goes on, and neither the things that are in the world, meaning the components that make up society that's set apart from Jesus Christ, he says, don't fall in love with them. Now, We've had a trend over the past couple of decades, which everybody has embraced. Society, global society has embraced. It's called social media. It's of the world. Amen. Well, Six Flags is of the world. SeaWorld is of the world. The places that we just embrace, that we give no second thought to it, it's not of God. This is a true situation. This really happened to me, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. My wife and I went, maybe a little longer than that, went to California. And we went to a place where we first were in Coronado Bay, where we first got together when we used to live there before we got saved. And it was a wonderful time. So while we were there, we said, well, let's just go over to SeaWorld. I think that's what Shamu, with the Shamu, the fish. And as soon as I walked in, I started feeling the Holy Ghost. And we sat down and they had bleachers, much like pews in an arena. And the men came up and they started making the fish do tricks. And I realized that the man instructing the fish is the evangelist. And the fish has our total attention, and all these people sitting in the pews are on their way to hell, and we're watching a fish. And I mean, the Holy Spirit came on me, and it was somewhat embarrassing. I started weeping uncontrollably. My wife didn't know what was wrong with me. But it was such a revelation that we had to leave. I just had to leave. I couldn't stop crying. But many times we can go to these places and we don't realize that hell hath enlarged itself beyond measure. Open this mouth to receive multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision as we squander our time in the things of the world. And this is what John is bringing out. But there's three weaknesses. He goes on to say, because all. He don't give us no wiggle room. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh is just something that pampers our appetites. Our dietary appetites, our sexual appetites, the longing that the body has for different needs. And these needs are legitimate. God put these needs in the body, but they are not to run rampant without discipline. The lust of the eyes is the craving of the visual senses. It's what that's what social media is. For the most part, your Instagram, the video platforms, it's just your eyes want to be fed. They can never be satisfied. The Bible said the eyes of man is never satisfied. But it's the constant feeding. The eyes want to see something new, something different. And we're not talking about pornographic things here. That's included. But just anything. It doesn't even have to be sexual in nature. And then finally, the pride of life. It speaks of any success that you and I might aspire to that is outside of God, that is in the absence of God. All of this is of the world. Now, when you start thinking about this, you start realizing that much of our lives are spent embracing and falling in love with things that are of the world. And the apostle said, therefore, it's not of the Father. Now, these three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these are human weaknesses. And Satan knows these human weaknesses, and he uses them like a master to cause men to fail God, and they're used as tools to steal, kill, and destroy. When you go back to the first family, God created Adam from his rib, he made Eve. They're the only two people on the planet. They live in a paradise. They don't have jobs other than to just keep the garden. There's food growing everywhere. But Satan comes in and takes advantage of these three areas. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 5, the serpent is speaking to Eve. And he says, now she wasn't even thinking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She wasn't even looking at it. He put her attention on it. And he said, for God, verse 5, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods. That's the pride of life right there. That's success without God. You don't need God to sanctify you, make you Christ-like. Just eat of the fruit he told you not to eat of. You don't need him. You'll be just like him. That's how he tempted Eve. That's how he got her attention upon the forbidden fruit. He goes on to say, you'll be knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, when the woman saw, when she looked visually and saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, there's the lust of the flesh right there. You know, it's a funny thing. When God created all the fruit, he made a colorful color so that we would desire it. So it would be, you know, if it was just gray, no, nobody wants to eat food that's just gray. But he put vibrant colors on it. But Satan used human weakness, the lust of the eyes, to make it appeal to her to be pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired. A tree to be desired, meaning that she looked at it, I want it, I want to partake of it. I want to take this forbidden fruit and satisfy the passion, the dietary passion of my body, the lust of the flesh. Satan uses this over and over and over. Now, this is going to be a little bit hard what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just trying to give you truth. We can overeat all we want to. We can overeat and know we done overeat. Go to bed. Your stomach's hurting on the side. Man, I ate too much. And okay, I get it. You can do that one night. But when you're doing it every single night, the judgment of God can come in the form of diabetes or high blood pressure or some other physical ailment because you are not disciplining the passions, the appetites of your physical body. Oh, this is good preaching. Now all of us are built different. You know, some of us are built thicker than others. Some of us are built less than others. But you know what your body needs, and you can always tell when you're overdoing it because the number keeps changing on the scale. It just keeps going to the right. It never goes back to the left. That's your clue that I need to discipline myself. That's your clue. And so that's something all of us contend with. It's human weakness. It's just human weakness. I contend to it. With it. I've always been a skinny guy, but I'm not anymore. And so now I have to always look at that number and say, okay, am I on course? Where am I at? Because that number shouldn't constantly just shift this way. The lust of the eyes. How much time do you spend on social media? Yeah, the death scroll. We're just looking at the pictures. Now, social media in and of itself is not necessarily evil, but the way that we do not discipline ourselves, we make it evil. And you don't spend an hour and a half just looking at cat videos on YouTube. While this collects dust. Now, here's the thing. Looking at a YouTube video is not evil. There's nothing wrong with it. A lack of discipline is what makes it evil, is that we're called to sanctification. And here's what the deal is. If you're doing that constantly until it's an addiction, you have fallen in love with the things of the world, and that's not of the Father. As a matter of fact, the scripture said, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Did you see that? And I think that's verse 15 or 16, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It means you cannot have a dual allegiance. It means you either love God or you love the world. You can't love them both. My wife is coming back today. I can't love my wife and then love some other sister over here too. So I got to make a decision. My wife will insist. Make a decision, brother. Well, God insists that we make a decision. Either we love God or we love the world. And now, just because you hear this doesn't mean everything's okay when you go home tonight. There's a process of sanctification where you detox yourself from the things of the world and you live just for God. My wife has been gone all week. I've been at the house by myself, me and my dog. I think the TV's been on maybe an hour and a half over the course of the week. It's not wrong to watch TV. It's wrong to be controlled by the TV. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, as I said, these are human weaknesses, and we can look through the scriptures, and we can see where Satan has used these. And listen, and he's using them on you. Let me stop right there and make some. You're not exempt from this. These three efforts, Satan is using them to try to cause you to stumble, to try to cause you to mess up. Okay, let's take the lust of the eyes. Satan got the whole world almost naked. Almost naked. You don't even have to be looking for a naked member of the opposite sex. It'll just pop up. And can you discipline your eyes? That is good preaching. See, here's sanctification is that when you see what you don't need to be seeing, somebody's in a compromised position, you turn your head, you look away. Amen. Is this too old school? Now, every brother in here knows what I'm talking about when I say this, and I don't know what the sisters go through, so I have to deal with what the brothers go through. Many times a sister can lean over like this and grab something, her blouse falls off of her chest. That look that way, brother. Amen. And respect her. And respect yourself. We see in the life of King David, and no one can argue the credentials of King David. He was a man after God's own heart. He loved God supremely. And from a ruddy youth, he was used of God. He had experience with God. He was a musician. He just played worship music. He just loved on God all by himself. But yet in the life of King David, there was a time that Satan came. The Bible says a stranger came, but it was the thief who came to steal, kill, and destroy in David's life. And this man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, it says it came to pass at evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now, the culture of that day, people would shower on their rooftop because it gave them some privacy from their own confines. But the king's roof, the palace, was higher than anyone else's. So David was able to look across all the rooftops. But on this particular night, he saw Bathsheba taking a shower. Now, what he should have done is look that way, brother. But look at the account the Holy Spirit gives us. And when he saw, and he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was not just beautiful, she was very beautiful. Have you ever noticed that Satan uses the most beautiful people to pull you into the pit? Have you ever noticed that? He finds the people that are just specimens of human perfection, and they're the very ones that pull you down into the darkness. Now, Bathsheba was not doing anything wrong at this point. Ultimately, she did, but at this point, she was not doing anything wrong. She was doing what she should be doing. It was on David. He saw the woman was very beautiful to look upon. There it is, the lust of the eyes. It's the craving of our visual senses. I want to see something else. So instead of looking away, trying to satisfy something that can't be satisfied. See, that's what pornography, that's what all pornography is. You're trying to feed something that can never be satisfied. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Now, Uriah was one of the mighty men of war that was out at that current time fighting the battle for David. And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him and she lay with him. And there's the lust of the flesh right there. And here's just the truth. Most of you have already realized that if you haven't, I'll give you a hint. The lust of the eyes will lead to the lust of the flesh. It's just a path. Not just in the terms of sexual expression. All marketing. The last, I don't know what it is. My phone is fairly old. But the last new phone that came out. Have you ever noticed the advertisements? They have the phone just really close. It's a close-up view. And they just move it like this. And the light's reflecting off the side. And you're looking at it. You go, I've got to have that phone. Oh, the price is $1,800. I make that in two paychecks. And if I don't pay the rent, I can have that phone. The lust of the eyes always leads to the lust of the flesh. That's what marketing is. That whether you buy your clothes that way, they show you the picture. And listen, it never looks as good on you as it looked on the model. Have you ever noticed? The model is all buff, got big arms, just filling that sleeve up. The model looks like Max. And then you get in this hanging all off of you. And it's but they caught you with the lust of the eyes, engaging the lust of the flesh. And you got to have it because of the pride of life. The pride of life. David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her. He's pampering the appetites of the flesh. For she was purified for her uncleanness, and she returned into her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, I'm with child. And David sent to Joab, his commander, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And I can't go through the whole story, but he tried to get Uriah drunk so he will sleep with his wife and not know the difference. David was okay with Uriah raising his son, thinking it was his son. David said, I got no problem with that. You know why? I don't want anyone to know what I've done. The pride of life. I want to continue with my success. People, the nations know that I'm a man of God. I don't want people to know what I've done. The pride of life. And so when Joab finally would not sleep with his wife because he was a man of honor, David took Uriah's death warrant and put it in his hand with the king's seal. Said, take it back to Joab and tell him to read it. And Joab opened it up. And it said, when the battle is the hottest, put Uriah right in the front and then everybody pull back on him so he can be smitten at the wall. And that's how he died. Now, this was the beginning of the problems in David's life. God said, as a result, the sword will never leave your house, David. His son Absalom stole the kingdom from him. He had problem after problem after problem after problem. How was Satan able to accomplish that in King David's life? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And that is how he will accomplish it in your life. Those three areas of weakness. You know, so many preachers, we see that all the time. Preachers have huge ministries. And the next thing you know, they're in a mess because of the lust of the eyes. I see you. And then the lust of the flesh. And then the next thing you know, they've destroyed themselves. You know, I had a pastor that he taught us well. He said, when you're a preacher, it's going to seem, the women, it's going to seem like all the women want you. He said, don't make no mistake. They don't want you. They want your power. They want your power with God. What's attractive about you is your walk with God. Once you lose that, they ain't gonna like you no more. That's exactly what happened to Samson. Or was it Samson? Yes, yeah, Samson. Delilah wanted his power. So those three areas are the areas that we can easily be taken advantage of. I'm running out of time, so I have to make this very fast. When Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, it was those three areas that he was tempted in. Those three areas. I'll just read it quickly. Matthew 4, beginning was verse 3. And when the tempter came unto him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made of bread. There it is, the lust of the flesh. Pamper the appetites. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city and setteth him upon a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. There it is, the pride of life. Don't worry, God got you. Go ahead, do what I'm telling you. Nothing bad's going to happen. God's got you. It's the pride of life. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain and showeth him the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. He's appealing to the lust of the flesh. You can have all this. You can have all. You know what? That's what the lottery is. The lottery is Satan saying, if you just give me that $20, $50, $1, you have a chance of all of this. If you win, you can fly to Dubai to have dinner. And we foolishly, listen, if you hit a lottery, you're going to destroy yourself. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what Satan is using. He will destroy your marriage. He'll destroy your walk with God. He'll destroy your career. We see it happening constantly all around us. People fired off their jobs because they can't do right because of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Lose their wife, lose their husband. But I say to you today, begin to discipline your life. Start today, little by little. Allow the discipline of the Holy Spirit to get tighter and tighter on your life. John wrote this after 60 years of walking with the Lord. He had to figure it all out himself. Well, he stopped to write it down to tell us before we got to 60 years, here's what's up. This is what you got to do right here. So let's take his advice. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, we just love you so much, and we thank you. We thank you, Master, that you give us, Lord, the right way to walk. You admonish us to seek for the old path, and when we find it, to walk it. You make clear for us in verbiage that we can clearly understand, not to love the world or the multitude of things that are in the world. That relationship with the world is opposed to relationship with the living God. Father, we come to you now and we ask you to show us in our lives, Lord, those areas that were compromised. Those areas where the thief would come in to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, those places that are not guarded, that are not disciplined from this terrible trio of weakness that we spoke about today. Come on, would you stand to your feet all over the room if you're able this morning? And you just reach out to God any way that you know how. No doubt you already know areas that the Holy Spirit has pricked in your heart. Just say, God, that's the area right there. I submit myself to you. I ask you, Lord, that you would help me in this area. Lord, that you would strengthen me, that your Holy Spirit would bring discipline to my life, that I might get a hold of myself, oh God, lest the enemy take me down the wrong road. Come on, just reach out to the Lord, won't you? All over the room, just reach out. God is not angry at you this morning. He sent this word to help you, to heal you, and to build you up. just reach out to the Lord.
You, we thank you for your discipline, Lord, because your word says that those that you love, you discipline. So, Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this word. We thank you because we have a chance to get it right. And, Father, you have sent us this word because you simply love us. So, Father, help us to walk in the truth. Help us to be honest with ourselves and with you. And help us to simply ask for help because we all need help, Lord. Father, we just love you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. 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 That was a timely word. As always, you know, discipline is just something that we can always just grow in. So I thank God for that word. Amen. All right, at this time, we're going to go ahead and worship and give. So if you haven't given yet, please go ahead and feel free to do so. As you guys know, there are many ways to give, and if you are online, you definitely can join us as well in this moment of giving. Also, as you guys know, we have a project that we're trying to raise $12,500 for the van for the Pakistan. So please, if you are able to, go ahead and donate to that as well. And as of last week, we've raised almost $5,000. So we are almost there. And next Sunday, Jason Stidham will be here for to preach at the 9 and the 11. So please do come out to that. And last but not least, this Wednesday, no Bible study. We'll be having laity. So please do come out and support those that will preach this Wednesday at 7. Please, if you don't mind, bow and let me just pray over us and dismiss us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for this word. We thank you because you are faithful and that you love us. We thank you because this is simply a chance for us to get it right. Father, help us to simply be honest with you. Help us to ask for the help that we need, knowing that you will always, always be a on-time God that will give us strength to just walk through anything that we are going through. Father, we love you. We honor you and we thank you for all that you have done, are doing, and will do. Amen. You are dismissed. See you guys on Wednesday.